Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to start with verse number 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8. We'll read this verse and then we'll pray and again get going here in this message here tonight. So Proverbs chapter 1, again, verse number 8, the Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Again, my son, I like that. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer, and Lord, I do ask that you would just be with me here at this time, Lord, that you would, again, empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, and just use this time together around your word to strengthen us, to help us in the area of parenting. Again, just give us the instructions and the teachings here tonight through your word to help us to, again, to be more engaged in the lives of our children, those that you've placed in our care, Lord. So Lord, and for the young people, again, I pray that they would listen up and that they would, again, receive and understand the things that you would have them to learn as well. But Lord, just please be with us here tonight. And again, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, we're going to be talking about being an engaged parent from the book of Proverbs here, Proverbs 1, chapter 1 through chapter 7. And again, don't worry, we're not going to cover every verse there. And I told my wife, there's 10 points kind of here. She's like, don't tell them that. but don't worry, we'll go through it quickly here tonight. But we're going to be, again, looking at some instructions from the book of Proverbs, again, that deals with, again, being an engaged parent, again, as we go through the different my son instructions that we see in the book of Proverbs. Before we get to that, though, let me give you a quick story, again, from the Bible in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 4. We're introduced to Eli, again, who was a priest of the Lord, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And in the story there in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 4, again, we have probably the best biblical illustration of someone who was a passive parent. Again, the most outstanding statement about Eli's parenting is found probably in verse 13 of chapter 3, where God said that he would judge Eli's house because he failed to restrain his sons. And so the Bible says this, the verse very specifically says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." And so Eli, again, was fully aware, again, of his son's iniquity that was before God and before the people. But again, he chose really to do nothing. The Bible says, again, he restrained them not. And that response, again, greatly was displeasing and dishonoring to God. And the story, again, is a very powerful story. Again, Eli, again, himself was a large and indulgent man. He was somewhat lazy. He was rather content, I guess you could say, with the status quo of his day. And his two sons, the Bible called them sons of Belial, which is God's really, his way of saying that they were very wicked and perverse men, ungodly men. Again, they had abused God's work. They had abused the people of God that they were to be over. They perverted themselves and others, and they were living dishonestly and publicly shaming, again, the name of God in their life and in their actions. And again, Eli's response as a parent was very minimal. He talked very passively with them, maybe a time or two, but he took no other action. Really, again, his inaction, again, that his passive parenting cost him and his family dearly. Though Eli brought up his sons in the service of the Lord, and even in the house of the Lord, really, they grew up to despise God and His truth. And so listen to this. Mere environmental changes, like church, a good school, or a youth group, are no guarantee that our children will live honorably. You see, often Christian parents choose to place their children in healthy spiritual environment, only then to disengage themselves and they disengage themselves and expect the institution then to take over. But again, that doesn't work. Again, no pastor, no youth pastor, no coach or teacher can replace or out influence that of the parent. And so, dads, moms, listen, we must be engaged in our children's lives. We cannot be passive in our parenting. Engaged parents, they take personal responsibility to introduce their children personally to God. They fully engage in displaying a personal walk and spiritual life. And then just simply expecting healthy environments and support institutions, again, to complement what they are already teaching and modeling rather than take over. Other influences, again, and environments can support your godly parenting, but they cannot overcome the lack thereof. And so as parents, we must be engaged. God has given us as parents, again, the primary responsibility of teaching and training up our children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8, God instructs us with these words. He says, "The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then here it is. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." And so we have been given the primary responsibility as parents, again, in the teaching and training of our children. Ephesians 6:4, the fathers are instructed to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And then in Proverbs 22:6, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." But again, this is to the parents. Again, we cannot be like Eli and be passive. We cannot just simply get them maybe in a good school, a good church, a good youth group, and then just take a step back and say, "Well, they'll be all right." And again, it does not work that way. And so in the book of Proverbs, we see Solomon time and time again. And again, we're going to look at 10 different times where he uses these words, "my son." And then he goes on and proceeds again to go on to teach his son in wisdom and life lessons. At this point in Solomon's life, again, he understood that it was his responsibility to teach his son. You know, there's an old Jewish proverb that goes like this: "He who does not teach his son a trade teaches him to be a thief." Again, think about that. Again, he who does not teach his son a trade teaches him to be a thief. So listen, fathers, we had better teach our boys. Again, mothers, we had better teach our daughters. And again, we see that Solomon did, as we're going to go through Solomon's again, chapter 1 through 7 here in just a moment. But Solomon did this as he instructed and he taught his son. And we're going to look at what he taught his son here tonight. Now, let me say this. Again, as I stand here again tonight, again, as I said earlier, a little bit, you know, nervous, a little bit overwhelmed. And I believe a large part of this is because, again, I'm no expert on parenting. Again, my children, 4, 2, 3 months, much of what we're going to talk about tonight is things I have not personally had to do in my own life with my own children as of yet. But I believe that if we will just simply make God's word the authority, we most certainly can learn some things here tonight. And so while the message, again, is primarily going to be aimed at parents and being engaged, I do believe every one of us in here can learn something from this message. Again, young people, if you will just simply listen to what God wants to teach you as we see what Solomon taught his son tonight, again, you will learn and you will be challenged and will be able to grow. So again, moms, dads, listen, we've got to teach our children these things that we're going to see here in the scripture here this evening. And so we're going to begin here, and we're going to look at the 10 times in which, again, Solomon spoke and taught to his son. And so the first one is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. We see Solomon says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Again, what Solomon was teaching his son here was that, Solomon, you need to run with the right crowd. Make sure you are running, Solomon, with the right crowd. Again, dads, you better teach your boys, again, to run with the right crowd. Moms, dad, moms, you better teach your girls to run with the right crowd. Again, we better teach them this. Young people get into more trouble today, I believe, simply because of the crowd that they are running with, the wrong crowd. The simple but true fact of life is that you will become like those with whom you closely associate, whether for the good or for the bad. I wrote down this quote. I liked it. If you run with wolves, you will learn how to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn how to soar to great heights. So you better teach your children to run with the right crowd. Let me say this. We need to teach them to be able to say no. Teach them to say no. Again, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Again, very simple. Son, daughter, again, let's just make this practical. If someone comes up to you and they offer you this cigarette, they offer you this or whatever it is, say no. And we teach them and we train them. Again, I think of Joseph and when Potiphar's wife, again, kept trying to get him to commit sin with her and how he just kept saying no. Verse 9 of Genesis 39, he acknowledged that, again, that all sin is ultimately sin against God. Again, he said, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Help your children, and we need to help our children understand that sin is against God, and just, again, the very clear and practical teaching of teaching them how to say no. Again, the phrase, just say no, was made very popular when it came to drugs. But again, it needs to be more than just drugs and alcohol that we teach our kids to say no to. It needs to be no to wrong crowd, the wrong kind of friends as well. So we need to teach them to say no. Verse 10 there I see. We also see we need to teach them how to spot the wrong crowd. Verses, again, if I read verses 10 through 14, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. And so teach them how to spot the wrong crowd. There's certain characteristics, there's certain attributes that the wrong crowd typically portrays. Proverbs 14:2 says, he that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. We need to teach them again, someone who despises and hates God and will spit in his face, that's the wrong crowd. Stay away from them. Proverbs 22:29, a wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Again, this wicked man, he hardeneth his face. He will not take instruction. He will not take rebuke. And again, he's not willing to listen to the instructions and the clear commands in Scripture. And again, this is the kind of crowd that we must teach our children. They need to be aware who this is so that they can say no and not run, again, with the wrong crowd. So teach them, again, to spot the wrong crowd. They are proud. They're defiant before God, we see. We also, the wrong crowd, they're often drawn to evil. Proverbs 21:10, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Drawn to evil. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Proverbs 17:11. Drawn to evil, a very rebellious spirit in this type of person. The wrong crowd, that they often will use perverse and harmful speech. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And then Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. You can spot them by their speech often. They also, they hate upright people. Proverbs 29:10, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. Again, what kind of character do they have? We need to teach our children this. Teach them how to spot, again, the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd, again, they'll lead others astray. Proverbs 16, 29 through 30. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. And if we're not careful, that will happen to our children. They'll be led away from the good. Because we are failing to engage in teaching our children, again, what this wrong crowd looks like and how to spot them and how to say no to them. We need to teach them to separate from the wrong crowd. And obviously, verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Separate from them. See, the Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Separate yourself from them. Don't be hanging out with them. Don't be sitting there at the lunch table with them while they're telling their dirty jokes. Don't go hang out with them at the football game or wherever it may be. We need to learn and teach our kids to separate themselves from this type of crowd if we're going to spare our children from deep hurt in ourselves. Teach them the importance of right friends. Teach them the importance of right friends. Again, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So you better have the right kind of friends. So we better teach them. Teach them the importance of right friends. And so here in this first my son lesson, I guess you could say, as Solomon begins teaching his son, he teaches him, again, to run, again, with the right crowd. And as parents, we must be engaged in doing the same. The second thing Solomon taught his son, again, is found in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to see here the second my son instruction and teaching here. Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And then he goes on through the next couple verses talking about wisdom and instruction. But as he gets down to verse number 12, he teaches them what this wisdom instruction is for. It's to deliver thee, verse 12, from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. And then down in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And so Solomon, again, goes on here in this second teaching and to teach his son to stay away from evil men and from strange women. He teaches his son, stay away from evil men and strange women. That relationship there. Let me ask you, dads, have you sat down and talked with your boy about women, about girls? Have you sat down lately and, again, talked to your boy about the right kind of girlfriend and when that time is acceptable for them? We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But again, when is this acceptable? Have you talked with your young men about this? Have you sat down and talked to your boy about how to behave towards young ladies? That interaction between a young man and young lady, have you talked with him about that? Again, if you haven't, then don't be surprised if your son goes astray. If you haven't, then don't be surprised if he gets involved in a premature relationship, lustful often, more times than not. Again, it's going to be our fault as parents if this happens because we have failed to engage and instruct and to teach our children, to train them up to stay away from evil men, strange women. Again, ladies, have you taken the time to talk to your girls about how to behave towards boys? Have you taught your girls the proper way on how to act around young men? A young lady needs her mother. She needs some advice from her mother. Again, she needs her mother, again, to simply sit down with her and to teach her and to train her. Really, listen, I'm simply saying God has given us the responsibility as parents, and we have better do it. Again, young people, listen, learn how to behave and act towards the opposite gender. We need to, as parents, we ought to be talking about, again, the boyfriend-girlfriend thing. Again, some people don't like to use that terminology, and again, we'll talk a little bit more detail about that later on when I believe the appropriate time for that is. And again, as parents, we ought to be instructing that. But that's the kinds of talks that we need to be having with our children, especially when they become a teenager. talk about, again, how to behave towards the opposite sex. And so we see here in Proverbs chapter 2, this teaching on to stay away again from the evil man, that strange woman. Moving on, we'll look at the third my son teaching is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. I don't know if you do any highlighting, writing in your Bibles or not, but as I was doing my studying and reading, and again, this is kind of where this came about. I just started highlighting my son, my son, my son. And that's where this came from. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, is that next, my son, again, that I see. And so Proverbs 3, 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I like this teaching here. We'll stop there and I'll give you the point here. But what Solomon teaches his son here, and this third point really is the way to success. The way to success. From Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. Again, just very quickly, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And look at this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you do this, this is the result. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Want that? Success. Verse 4, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then here it is, and he shall direct thy path. There's the success. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. There's the success. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10, the success. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, he's teaching them the way to success. So first, I see he teaches him again obedience. My son, verse 1 there, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Teaches them obedience. Again, obedience, let me say this, teach them obedience to parents. Again, we've got to teach our kids this. Again, this is one of the ones I'm already working at. Again, teaching my children obedience. Again, you've heard it. Obey right away with a good attitude. Again, that's obedience. And we're teaching our children that right now at a young age. But we can't stop just when, again, just because they begin to grow up, we can't stop that. Continuously being engaged in teaching them obedience. Again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Again, so we need to teach our children obedience. Again, obviously obedience to us as parents, but then also obedience to God's word, I would say. And we teach this again through devotions and teaching them to have a personal devotions for their own selves. Again, let thine heart keep my commandments, not just mine, but the Lord's. How are they going to do that? Well, if we teach them to have a walk with the Lord, if we will teach them to, again, personally walk with Him and spend time daily in His Word, and we can teach them those things. Again, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then the success, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's directly related to devotion to God and obedience to Him. I like what Job 23:12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Again, that's why, again, oftentimes you'll hear, first things first, put God first in your life. And so, again, get up in the morning, read God's word, spend time with him, first things first. Before I even, sit down and have some breakfast, spend some time with God. Esteem His words more than my necessary food. Teach them, again, obedience through devotion. Also teach them, again, to be kind. Teach them to be forgiving. Teach them to be loving. Again, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So again, teach them this. Teach them, again, to be kind and forgiving. To be loving towards others. It's not natural. So we must teach them and train them. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. But again, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Teach them to be good, to do good, to be kind to one another, as we're instructed in God's word. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. There's favor with the righteous. Proverbs 11:27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, or he gets favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Again, we need to teach our children, to diligently seek good, to be loving, kind, forgiving, things like this, to be merciful to those around us. Again, why? Verse 4, thou shalt have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's a way of success. Now, the next two verses 5 through 6, again, really is where I could have spent all of our time here tonight. Again, every young person, really, they should learn these next two verses. Again, I would, if I was mom, dad, again, I would encourage you, have your kids memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 if they haven't. Have them meditate on these two verses. Again, really, because this is the key right here. These next two verses is really the key to success in life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Again, as a youth pastor, what's the number one question? How do I know God's will for my life? Simply, if we would teach our children these three things, trust in the Lord, lean not to thine understanding, and all the ways acknowledge Him, then we have God's promise that He will direct their path. God's will. It's what we want as young people. It's what we want as parents for our children, that they would live in the will of God. But are we teaching and training them, teaching them reliance on God, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, to lean not to thy own understanding. That simply means, don't prop yourself up on what you know. Again, don't try to figure out your life for yourself, but again, trust in the Lord. Again, you don't really know what you ought to be and what you ought to do, or as far as our young people yet. I don't know. I'm 13, I'm 14, I'm 16. I really don't know what I should do right now. So I need to trust in the Lord. I need to lean on His understanding. Lean on Him versus, lean on what I think I know, what I think is right, instead of leaning on what's going to make me the most money, or leaning on where all my friends are going to school, so that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to simply lean on God, and I'm going to acknowledge Him, because if I do those things, the Bible says He shall direct my path. Again, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In everything you do, think of Him. Think on Him. Seek Him. Seek His will. Seek His will about your school. Seek His will about your vocation, about your friends. Seek His will about your pleasure and in your relationship. Seek His will about your home. Again, in all thy ways, bring Christ into every aspect of your life. In everything that you do, acknowledge Him. Think of Him. Again, what would He do? What's His will? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Think of Him, and He shall direct thy path. Again, it's a promise of God. If I will just simply trust in the Lord, I'll lean not to my own understanding, and I'll just quit trying to figure life out myself, but I will submit to God. I will acknowledge Him and will seek Him. Then He will direct my path. And again, as I said, isn't that exactly what we want? His leading, His will. It's what we want for our children. So we need to teach them these things. You know, I see, though, again, as I've kind of mentioned already, we're allowing friends to direct the paths. We're allowing trends to direct our paths. Some cases, we're allowing some school counselor who believes that man came from ape to direct our paths. Where do you think I should go to school, counselor? Well, you got good grades, Diana. UNM Tech, make it great. You're great at math. You're good at all these things. And go to the school counselor, and again, go back to Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Must be careful where we get that counsel from. Again, as I said, friends and trends. Again, so many times with young people, what they choose to do with their life or where they're going to go to college is really based off of where their friends are going. It's not based off of, God, what's your will? What would you have for me to do? It's, again, my best friend, my BFF is here. That's where I'm going. So we need to teach our children, train them to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Again, I read a portion of Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the blessed man. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessed man who is in God's word, who's allowing God to be his trust and his understanding. He shall prosper. So we need to teach them, again, reliance on God. Also, I see here we need to teach them in verse 9 to tithe. Again, as we're talking about teaching our children the way of success, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10, again, as I said, here's the success. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, we understand, and we've heard it time and time again, how you cannot outgive God. It's his blessing. But are we actually teaching our children that? Are we teaching them to tithe? Again, maybe you're, again, tithing is something new for you. I don't know. If it is and you have children, let your children know. Let them know about that decision. Hey, we're going to tithe as a family. Let them know why. Teach them the principle and teach them the truths of God's word. And again, maybe every now and then, give them some money to put into play. And again, you're teaching them from a young age to tithe. And then as they become teenagers and young adults, again, teaching them as they get that first job to tithe on that paycheck or to tithe on that allowance or whatever it is that they get. When they get an increase, we are teaching and training them to tithe. We're engaged and we're teaching them, again, the way to success. And I see, again, that that's what Solomon did. The fourth thing that Solomon taught his son as we move along is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. In other words, Solomon taught his son that sin pays. Or you could say there's consequences for sin. We need to teach our children that. You can't just go through life and live however you want to. No, there's consequences. And we need to teach them that. We need to teach them responsibility. To take responsibility for their actions. Proverbs 29:15, the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child let himself bringeth his mother to shame. Left to himself, he'll bring the mother to shame. So we need to teach him that there's consequences for sin, that it pays. Proverbs 23, verse 13 through 14, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And so we must teach our children, again, that there are consequences in life as it deals with your sin and our actions and our words and things like that. We're going to teach that. We're going to train them. Engaged. The fifth one is found in verse number 21. We jump down to verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. We'll jump down to verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Verse 30, strive not with a man without cause if he had done thee no harm. So again, what's this teaching here? Well, this is a teaching on our relationship with others. And so Solomon is going to teach and he's going to train his son. And again, how to have the proper and the right relationship with others in his life, his neighbors and people around him again. Again, in verse 27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Listen, we need to teach our kids to do good. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Simply, man, again, teach our children to do good. Again, we ought to teach our boys and our girls to do good deeds. The Bible says of Jesus in Acts 10:38 that he went about doing good. And again, we need to teach our children to do so as well. To be more like Christ, who went about doing good. That was a description of his life. And we need to teach our children the same. We need to teach our children they need to meet their obligations. Verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again. Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Again, teach them to meet their obligations. You see, one of the crutches of our nation is dishonest people who will buy things by the carload that they when they know they can't pay for it. Again, we need to teach our young people that, again, if you cannot afford it, then you don't get it. And we need to, again, sit down with them and tell them, again, if you say that you're going to pay, then you pay it. You meet that obligation. And you don't say, I'll come back tomorrow when you have it there. Again, teach them the dangers about debt. If I can just keep pushing it off to tomorrow, I'm going to find myself in debt. And a lot of times, adults, we know the dangers of debt. So we need to teach our children that. When you have it, you pay it. When that bill comes around, you pay it. Don't push it off. Teach them to be honest. Again, dishonesty is one of the worst things in the world today. And then number 30, or verse 30. Where's Mariano? There he is. I told Mariano, I said, come back tonight. I said, I'll teach you when the Bible talks, gives you the okay to fight. Look at verse number 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. So teach them to fight, is what I wrote. Teach them to fight. Again, strive not with a man without cause. Now, before every young person gets too excited, and before every mom starts throwing rocks at me or something, again, I'm not condoning, I'm not advocating fighting like what most of us are thinking right now. Well, I believe, again, there is a time and a place for fighting, as Ecclesiastes 3 teaches that there is a time and a season for everything. Again, I believe most teenagers' fights, again, will not fall underneath the category of the right purpose that we see found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But what I am saying here when I talk about teach your children to fight is simply this. Again, we ought to teach our children, not to start fights, but we ought to teach our children to fight for what's right. Teach them to take a stand. Again, to stand up and fight for what's right. Again, you're at school, again, public school or whatever it may be, and they start going off on the evolutionism and all these things. Teach your children to stand up. Take a stand. Let them know. No. That's not my belief. That's not the truth. But stand up again and fight for what's right. Don't let our kids be a pushover, I guess you could say. We need to take a stand. So teach them to fight for what's right. Moving on. Let's look at the time there. Number six. We're on number six, all right? We're on number six here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. And then verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What I see Solomon doing here is teaching his sons some right habits. Some right habits. Again, teach them to walk straight. Again, literally, you go to a public school, you go to the mall, and how are the kids walking? We got to teach them, train them. Looks ridiculous, right? If we're not careful, our kids are going to be doing it. Teach them how to stand. Again, the way they stand on the outside is how they're going to stand on the inside. Teach them how to sit. Oh, man, this one gets me. Yeah. They're in the preaching of God's word. And this is how they're sitting. No, we need to teach them. Sit up straight. Listen, you listen with your eyes and your ears. We got to teach them these things. Again, naturally, they're going to slump in their seats. They're going to try to find the most comfortable position. So we got to teach them. We got to train them. Teach them how to shake hands. Nice to meet you. Is it nice to meet me? Probably not. A little limp shake there. No, we need to teach our young men to shake hands. Look them in the eye. Firm handshake, right? It's right habits. Again, teach them to look straight on, the Bible says. So look someone in the eyes when you're talking to them. Teach them how to converse with people. Teach them how to converse with, again, the opposite gender, things like that. We got to teach our children some right habits in life. Teach them how to speak out. Man, you know what I hate? I'm talking to somebody, I can't hear them. Their heads are down. What's your name?
Jojo.
What? I'm standing a foot away. I can't even hear you. Listen, teach your children to speak out, to look someone in the eyes and stand up straight and tall and again, converse, to speak. Teach them to talk right. Again, put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Again, I don't know if it's just because I'm from the South or what, but I believe that we ought to be teaching our children to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. Yes, thank you, and no, thank you, and things like this. It's right habits. Again, teach them how to look. Teach them how to walk. Teach them how to dress, how to stand, how to sit, how to converse, how to shake hands. We need to teach them these things as parents. Because naturally, it's not, again, they're not going to go in the straight and the narrow way. They're not going to do these things naturally. So as parents, we've been given the responsibility to teach and to train up our children. And I see here that Solomon was teaching his son some right habits. I'll go quickly through this last couple. Number 7. Proverbs chapter 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Jump down to verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. He teaches him and he warns him against strange women. It's a warning against strange women there in chapter 5. Chapter 6, we'll look at the next one real quickly. My son, verse number 1, chapter 6, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Again, jumping down, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What I see Solomon doing here is he's teaching his son about honesty and work. He teaches them honesty and work. I said I'd be quick, so I'm going to go through. I'll just kind of skim over my points here. But teach them that their word, again, ought to mean something. Teach them that their word ought to mean something. If you said you're going to do it, then do it. If I'll pay it, then I'll pay it. If I'll be there, then I'll be there. Teach them that. Teach them that when they make a promise, again, they'll keep it. I promised so-and-so that I would go, you know, to this mom, but, you know, my BFF invited me to go here. Well, did you promise her? Yeah. Well, then keep the promise. Teach them to keep their promise. Teach them again to pay their bills on time. We've kind of talked about that a little bit already. Teach them if they can't afford it, they don't get it. Teach them integrity. Teach them to not to put off to tomorrow what they know they ought to do today. Again, verse number 4: give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Again, why put off something to tomorrow when I know I ought to do it today? Quit putting things off and do what's right and do it now. Teach them again to work and not to look for handouts. Verse number 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You ever play with an ant? Just kind of mess with it? I mean, those little things are diligent. I'm not, you know, sometimes I like to just kill them, but sometimes, you know, just kind of play with them. And they just keep coming back. They're hard at work. They've got a task, and they're going to get it done, unless I swat and stomp on them or whatever. But again, we need to teach our children. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Again, teach them to be hard at work, to be hard workers. And again, quit being this give me this handout looking person. Man, we got enough of those in our society. Teach them how to provide for a family. Again, verses 6 through 8. Again, which having no guide or overseer, speaking of the ant, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So teach our children how to provide for a family. And teach them not to be lazy. Again, verses 9 through 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Man, have a time to where they get up and have a time that they go to bed. This sleeping in to 2, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that's laziness. Again, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. So teach them not to be lazy. And then the last two. The next one, number 9, is found in Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, he says, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. And we jump down to verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Again, we see again this warning against a strange woman. And then number 10, the last one, Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 1, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Why? Again, verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth her words. So again, we have another warning against a strange woman. And so if you remember what number 7 was, it was a warning against a strange woman. Number 9 and number 10 are a warning against a strange woman. And number 2 dealt with partially of a strange woman. So what do I see here? More than any other thing, Solomon taught his son about the proper relationship between a man and a woman. More than anything he taught his son, it dealt with, again, a strange woman and that relationship between a man and a woman, a boy and a girl. Listen, Satan would love to destroy our young person's heart by getting them involved in a premature relationship with a young man or a young woman. And we have to understand that our teenager's heart is at the stake here in this battle. Again, Satan wants to turn their hearts in the wrong direction. He wants to enlarge and pervert their desires and ultimately rob them of their purity. And a wise parent will determine to set up a watchguard over their teenager's heart regarding those attractions. Again, while I'm not pro-dating when it comes to a young person to, junior high and high school, again, I'm totally against dating. Again, I told you we'd come back to that. I am not pro-dating for junior high and high school students, but at the same time, I am realistic enough to understand that the God-given desires and attractions naturally awaken in the teen years. It's just that simple. No longer is that girl there full of cooties. When I become a teenager, now all of a sudden she's pretty. Man, and that young man, well, I'd like to get to know him. It's natural. And so listen, kids are going to be attracted to each other. And there's nothing that we can do to change that. Nor should we try to change that. So as parents, listen, I believe we should strike a very careful and biblical balance of teaching and nurturing our kids and how to manage these emotions. And how to keep their friendships healthy and Christ-centered until the Lord does intersect their lives with the right person at the right time. And that ought to be what we're teaching them. On the bus today, Diana, you heard me say it. Right person at the right time. That's what we ought to be teaching our young people. Again, that attraction is a very natural thing. It's God-given. But Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Praise the Lord. I will make him and help me for him. It's God designed. It's natural. And those desires are awakened during those teenage years. And unfortunately, because of the perverseness of our society and our world, for many it's even younger than that. Really. Again, we're these bus kids. How old is he? Not going to mention his name, but, maybe 10? Always talk about this girlfriend, 10-year-old. Listen, they're aware. They know these things. We need to take those blinders off, and we need to sit down with our children. We need to, again, biblically and carefully, as I said, guide them through the proper relationship of the opposite gender, of how to deal with these emotions and these attractions. You see, the world tells us that we must find the right person. Just, you got to find the right person. And again, there is a right person, yeah. But the world's way is completely backwards. Go out to this place and maybe you'll run into her. Go here and maybe you'll find them. You just do everything you can to find the right person. And then once you find them, again, go full speed, right? And then if something doesn't go out right, then I guess it wasn't the right person, so I'm going to go back to square one. I'll get rid of this one and go back out and I'll try to find the right person. So Hollywood's model, the world's model, is completely backwards. Again, they teach our young people that they must find the right person, but God's plan is that you would become the right person, and then He will lead you to the right person. So God's plan is that I, or you, the young person, will become the right person. So then He will intersect my life with the right person. It's about me becoming the right person, but it's not going to happen on itself. And we know that. And that's why we must be engaged as parents. And we must have these talks with our children about what it means to become the right person. If you think about some of the characteristics to a happy marriage, things like trust, commitment, intimacy, love, submission. Man, if you got these things in your marriage, man, you're a blessed man. This is a blessed home. Again, trust, commitment, intimacy, love, submission. If those are there, man, that's that form of a great marriage, right? Happy marriage. So if that's what we want for our kids, and then we need to teach them, the seeds that's going to produce the fruit of that. And so we need to teach them to be trustful, truthfulness. Teach them truthfulness, which is going to produce the fruit of trust. Teach them the seed of surrender, so that they will produce the fruit of commitment in their life and in their marriage. Teach them the seed of purity, and that will produce, again, the fruit of intimacy. Teach them, the seeds, to plant the seeds of loving Christ right now as a young person, because that is ultimately going to produce the fruit of a God, a love, not this lustfulness that we see in our society, but a true love. And teach them, again, to plant the seeds of selflessness, which will then produce the fruit of submission. And so truthfulness, surrender, purity, loving Christ, and selflessness. These are seeds that we ought to be teaching our children, our young people, to plant in their lives now. Because if they can learn and plant those, the rule of sowing and reaping will bring forth trust, commitment, intimacy, love, and submission in their marriage. Listen, a godly friendship is about fellowship. Again, they're going to be attracted. There's nothing we can do to stop it. But we need to teach them to have a Christ-centered friendships. Again, not relationships, but friendships. And godly friendship is about fellowship. Again, God's philosophy of friendship is about fellowship. It's about the bond of love and connection that God puts in the hearts of His children. Again, there's a unity, a togetherness among God's people because we belong to Christ. And that unity should cause us to strengthen each other then. Simply put, again, you should be a better Christian because of your friendships. You should be a better Christian due to your friendships. And so in this attraction, man, I'm attracted. But I'm going to keep it godly. I'm going to keep it Christ-centered. And I'm going to keep it a friendship, not a relationship, a friendship. And in this friendship, it's going to cause me to be more like Christ. And when it goes beyond that, then I must learn to separate myself. We'll talk about that in just a second. But again, most dating relationships, again, are more about needing to be liked than they are about becoming like Christ. Listen, when youthful couples always, again, have to be isolated away from the group and be alone, it's never a good sign. Again, that is not a Christian friendship there. Listen, we need to teach our kids to commit to each other, to be kind, to be the kind of friends that will sharpen one another, Proverbs 27:17. Again, you understand it takes time and attention for any relationship to grow, and so we need to teach our children to set limits on both of those things, the time and the attention. We must teach our children to choose God's best over immediate gratification. Again, choose the right person at the right time. We must teach our children to choose God's will. The road to God someday will start with His will today. We must teach our children that emotions were never meant to be trusted, but felt. Again, emotions, they make wonderful feelings, but terrible guides. So God never intended them to be, never intended you to be guided by emotion. So we teach that to our children. We teach our children, again, the difference between lust and love. And so again, really what I'm saying is we have got to be engaged. We've got to sit down with our daughters' mothers and our sons' fathers, and we teach them. And we train them. Again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the verse we started with. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen, it's sort of difficult for a son to hear instruction that dad and mom isn't speaking. And if, as a parent, if I'm not teaching them, if I'm not speaking, if I'm not teaching them, then I can't expect it. Again, you cannot hold someone accountable for behavior that you have not taught them. So we must be engaged parents in our lives, in our children's lives. As a youth pastor, I've learned my biggest struggle oftentimes deals with what's going on at the home from the parental front, because we've so many times we're backing off. Rather than being engaged, we're being just simply passive, leaving it up to the school, the youth group, the coach, the teacher, whatever it is. But that's not what God's design is. It was never God's plan. We must, as parents, decide that we will be engaged. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer, and Lord, I know I went a bit over this evening. I pray that they would forgive me for that. But Lord, I desperately see a need in our country, in our society, in our own church, Lord. A need for engaged parents. May we quit relying on someone else, whether it's a youth pastor, a pastor, a church, but again, they can complement what we're teaching and molding and training our children, but we cannot allow that to be the Gestapo. Lord, help us to be engaged in the lives of our young people. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.